Centrelink has been referring aggrieved welfare recipients to Lifeline via its Twitter account. Since July 2016, a total of 170,000 debt review letters have been sent out to Centrelink recipients, but many people say they got their letters in error. Earlier this week, however, the Social Services Minister, Christian Porter, told me on this program that Centrelink's automated compliance system is working incredibly well. That's the point of it, he says. However, the stories of the distress caused by what many see as debt recovery notices keep coming in. Here's Curtis Dixon, another example. He was on Ausstudy between 2007 and 12, except for an 8-month period in the middle. The automated system matched his records with the ATO's and decided he owed Centrelink $750 for those 8 months. Curtis says he has proof he doesn't. Here's what Centrelink told him.
They told me that I needed to provide them with the information proving what I earned in that period when I wasn't on Centrelink. So I sort of had to dig up old payslips and get statements from my employer saying here's a statement of the fortnights and what Curtis earned in that time, and provided that to Centrelink. And actually in the meantime as well, they told me that I had to go onto a payment plan to start repaying that amount while the review was happening. Otherwise, if I didn't go onto the payment plan, then they'd pass the debt onto a collection agency. So I'm currently on a payment plan paying back the debt while they figure out whether or not I actually owe it or not.
Well, South Australian Senator Nick Xenophon says he's been inundated with complaints about Centrelink debt letters and referred the matter to the Ombudsman late last month. Senator Xenophon, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish, and not just me, my colleague in the city of Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey. I spoke to her late last night. She's been getting flooded with calls in relation to this, and I'm just looking at one of the emails that was sent to her. A student who has had their benefits cut off, no notification, living off the charity of others over the Christmas period because there was no means of redress in the meantime, and that's just not good enough.
We heard there from Curtis. The Social Services Minister, Christian Porter, told me on Tuesday that all of this shows the system is working incredibly well, that this is about as reasonable a process, in his words, as you could possibly derive. He says there may be some inconvenience, people may not like that, but when there is so much to be gained from clawing back money that has been given out incorrectly, it's worth doing.
I like Christian Porter. He's a smart guy, but he never struck me as a Sir Humphrey Appleby type. For him to be talking about this working, you know, stupendously well, when in fact it's one in five recipients are getting these notices without justification, is a very serious issue. It indicates that the so-called automated system isn't working well.
But let's be clear about the notices. These are not debt notices. These are the original letters saying that you have information that we want.
Well, no, they're actually saying we believe you've been overpaid by a certain amount and that action will be taken. Now, it seems to me that that does cause a lot of distress, that people are having their payments being cut, that it seems that the system isn't just working.
I think we need to be clear, though, because I think the government and the opposition and you are using slightly different terminology, but to bring the arguments together, the government says these are not debt notices that are originally sent. It's in Christian Porter's words, a polite letter asking for further information. But as you point out and the opposition points out, these letters do indicate that a debt is likely to be owed.
It may not technically be a debt notice, that's right, but it has the effect of being treated as a debt notice by very distressed recipients. And reading the email that was sent to my colleague Rebecca Sharkey, that indicates that the payment was cut off in this case. This is a person who was a combination of Centrelink and a student at a senior college in Adelaide, indicates that the system isn't working. I don't think that an inaccuracy rate of 20% is anywhere near acceptable. And there's a bigger question here. These automated systems that are supposed to save taxpayers money, reduce the workload for Centrelink staff, are actually doing the opposite.
Where are you getting this 20% inaccuracy figure from?
Well, based on media reports, that initially was said that only 2% of the notices, or whatever you want to call them, that were sent out were inaccurate, that it's more like 1 in 5, indicating that the amounts that are being sought are wildly inaccurate.
Okay. As of Tuesday, Christian Porter says that there's only been 276 complaints from a total of almost 170,000 letters sent out, that in the process, the government's raised $300 million of taxpayers' money brought back to the taxpayers' purse. If the incentive is to get that sort of money back when we're in such, you know, fiscal dire straits, isn't it worth working through some of these problems?
Of course it is, but the issue is if someone has been overpaid, then you need to deal with it, although there is another issue, and that is that the current social welfare system is incredibly punitive. If you earn more than $104 a fortnight, in other words, if you give it a go and work a few hours in a retail shop or whatever, you find your benefits are slashed significantly. That's why, along with Rebecca Sharkey and my colleagues in the Senate, we pushed for and got through with negotiations with the government a proposal to allow seasonal workers to backpack, you know, the backpacker market, if you like, but to allow Aussies to earn up to $5,000 a season rather than having their benefits slashed, because right now the system has incredible disincentives for people who want to do a bit of work.
Sure, but I noticed your colleague, Rebecca Sharkey, calling for the whole system to be scrapped. Isn't this a classic example of opposition parties trying to score a political point when something goes wrong rather than trying to work through the challenge? I mean, does this whole system need to be scrapped, shut down?
No, that's not a question. I think I spoke to Rebecca last night. She was reacting to very reasonable concerns as a result of having...
Sure, but she said it needed to be shut down immediately.
I think she wants to see a shutdown of these sort of notices going out where there are so many that are inaccurate. And I think that we need to work through this. Look,
Can you answer the question, though? I mean, I don't want to get bogged down in what she said or didn't say.
Yeah.
Don't politicians need to work together to solve these problems rather than turning it into a big slanging match?
Absolutely. And that's why if there's a proposal to, not just bipartisan, but on all parties basis, to sit down, to analyse what occurred here, to learn from those lessons, to maximise the fairness in terms of getting those debts that are due and payable, but also to ensure that we don't have literally thousands of Australians getting quite distressed over the Christmas break. I think we can work through this. As I said, Christian Porter's a pretty reasonable bloke, and I'm sure we can work through it.
We need to get on to Port Augusta. You're visiting today. We've talked about the ash blanketing Port Augusta this week on RN Breakfast. Sam Johnson, the mayor, told us that he did approach Josh Frydenberg, the minister, the federal minister, quite some time back and was effectively waved away and told it's a state issue. Is that your view?
Well, that's my view. That's what Sam Johnson was told, but it's not a state issue, and this is a federal issue. We need to deal at a national level in terms of how do you deal with the shutdown of coal-fired power stations, which is inevitable in terms of a winding down of coal-fired power stations. The best way of dealing with it, in my view, is to have a smart emissions intensity trading scheme. But the reason I'm going out to Port Augusta this morning is that there's been a proposal that Sam Johnson, the mayor, is very familiar with, that I've been working on with my South Australian colleague John Daly for many months, and that is to convert the fly ash into building products. The company based in Sydney, Newrock, has been pushing this and has been basically ignored by government, state and federal, yet in the United States they've been embraced with open arms because you can create bricks and building materials at something like 98% less energy you require to create conventional bricks, and you can create jobs in the meantime while you're cleaning up the problem using the fly ash as the base material for building products.
And on another issue, government-owned shipbuilder ASC announced yesterday 130 jobs would be going by the end of February. The company, once famously described as being incapable of building a canoe, it was divided up into three separate businesses. The 130 jobs are set to be lost from the air warfare destroyer project. What does that mean for the future of shipbuilding in Adelaide?
And I note that Senator David Johnson apologised for those comments when he was Defence Minister. They were foolish words without justification. Look, this is another body blow for shipbuilding, Australian naval shipbuilding. What I find infuriating is that this could have been very much avoidable. We've had reports and studies by the RAND Corporation several years ago. Defence did its own report saying, if you want to save taxpayers billions of dollars of money, and they were that was the terminology used, you need to have a continuous shipbuilding program so that you don't have these valleys of death that are incredibly economically inefficient, let alone the human costs involved of sacking hundreds of people and then years later retraining them, reskilling them and rehiring them. This doesn't make sense, and it is inexcusable that the federal government went down the path of building two supply ships in Spain with virtually no Australian content in terms of shipbuilding jobs, and the Department of the Environment is spending $500 million on an icebreaker being built in Romania, which could have been built here in Australia.
Nick Xenophon, thank you very much.
All the best.
Nick Xenophon is a South Australian senator. It is 12 minutes to 8. You're listening to RN Breakfast.